the Bible, you read, and all of those expected God to deliver them, Old Testament, even all down through the, and their expectation got them healed, got them delivered out of the lion's den, got them delivered out of the fiery furnace, shipwrecked. Expectation, that's where I got that. The Lord spoke that to me. He said, expectation brings a manifestation. So tonight, be expecting God to minister to you, because how many knows the Holy Spirit, He knows the full will of God. He knows the will of God for us. He knows the heart of God. He knows the mind of God. He knows the Word of God. And He knows how to add into our lives. I was thinking about today how that we're living in a generation that is very dishonorable. You know, you can expect it in the world, but we got to make sure we don't let it get in the kingdom, get in the churches, you know. We got to honor God and keep honoring God, because the Bible says who honors the Lord honors. He says if we lightly esteem Him, we will be lightly esteemed. In other words, I don't want God lightly esteeming me. I want Him to be honoring me and honoring the church and honoring the workplace and everything, praise God. And one thing that we can do to honor God is honor His Word. And I was thinking about it. I even put it on Facebook, you know, and a little bit, you know, how we live in a dishonorable generation. And even in God's people, I mean, you know, sometimes they, just for an example, you know, they know God wants them to go to church, and they don't. How many knows that's dishonoring God? That's bringing dishonor to the Lord personally, you know. And he tells some where to go to church. And because they don't like some of the things or the people or the things going on. Remember, I mean, I said it like that. When God tells us to go to church and we don't go to church, where God tells us to go, it's dishonoring God. It's saying, God, you don't know where I need to be. I need to be over here because mama goes there or daddy goes there, whatever. You know, and I was thinking about my own life, and I was thinking about the children of Israel, and I was thinking about what the Lord had spoke to me, standing firm on God's will. See, once you find out what God's will is, once you know the will of God for you, whether it's church or whether it's marriage or whether it's work or whatever it is, the kingdom, you take a firm stand on the will of God. And I mean, you will meet, and when we do that, we are honoring God. We're saying, God, we know your will is that we go to church and ain't nothing going to stop us. God, we know that it's your will, Lord. You know, whatever you find out the will of God is. And when you honor God, when we honor God, God honors us. How's He honors? It could be in healing. It could be in finance. It could be in peace and joy. One of the things is peace. The Bible says that we will be led forward by peace, you know, in a troubled world. But I was thinking about how that God tells people to give. Just like Johnny, he could have dishonored the Lord because he felt led, and he knew that the Lord was dealing with him. I'll check it out later, you know, and he just had this, go now. And he went, you know, and you know, he could have went on. He could have went on and said, well, it ain't my problem to help her. Many do it. And God's saying, no, I've blessed you. I've given you the means, and I've set you up here. You've got a drawing here. And I'm not just telling you Johnny's story. God does this to us all the time. Every one of us. He's always leading us and asking things of us. And it's not to take from us, you know. And I was thinking, so Johnny goes on. And when he went on and did that, and he blessed somebody. But he honored God. And I bet you Johnny won't never have to walk. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. See, I used to look at the Word of God a lot of times in a bad manner. You know, God, man, don't be deceived. God not mocked. Whatever I sow, I'll reap. I looked at it in a negative sense. But if you look at it in you're going to walk in love. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. See, I found out how to overcome my enemy when people, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, Ephesians 6. So I found out when somebody is yielding to the enemy and does me wrong, I found out in the scripture God's will and God's way of overcoming evil. You do good to them. Overcome evil with good. And when we do that, we are honoring God, because we're honoring the Bible and we're honoring the God of the Bible. And we are in the last days. But I was flipping through and I seen one of the sermons I'd preached, and Jesus said, because I started hearing people, well, we're in the end times, this years ago. We're in the end times. Look how bad it is. Look how evil people are and all of that stuff. The Lord spoke to me back there and he said, yeah. He said, but I want you to occupy till I come. And I looked up the scripture and Jesus said, occupy till he comes. And I looked up the word occupy, and that means to keep growing to church, keep going to church, keep standing on healing scripture, keep overcoming evil with good. When things are not going our way, let our words get styled against the Lord. Why am I going through this, Lord? Why not? Why not go? Why not? Why not? Why not go into your hardship as a good soldier? He didn't say, when hardship comes, just lay down, soldier, and cry. He said, endure hardship as a good soldier. That means whenever hardship comes, praise God, we just say, God, well, glory to God, we don't understand and we don't care, but we're going to keep a right heart and we're going to keep a right spirit and we're going to keep trusting you in this, because we know Romans 8:28 says that you work all things together for the good to those that love you and to those who are called according to your purpose. How many knows if you're born again, you are called according to the purpose of God? I was thinking about the scripture. Give me that scripture, Beth. I've only got one. He just wouldn't give me a wrote down sermon today, and I'm fine with that. So when I left the house, I said, well, this is one of them trust you kind of nights, and I just like it like that. Pray God, you just got to trust him. See, I could have said, oh God, why ain't you giving me something, God? Instead of that, I told him, I said, you have given me something. I have your Holy Spirit. That's what you got to do when things are not working and you seem to not be hearing. Teresa done a sermon one time, and she'd went out to my mother's, and she was watching a war movie. I think it was, wasn't it? She was watching a war movie, and God gave her a sermon through that war movie. You know, they'd been trained. You know, you go into basic training. How many knows when you come to church, you're in training? I'm in training, hallelujah. You go into basic training, that's in there in the church. And then you start, then, you know, they send you through and you go start going through trials out there. Then you're having to make little baby steps and stands. If you're like, if I can just make it back to church Wednesday, I know I can make it till next Sunday. Well, it comes a time when you're actually getting trained when you're out there. But she done a sermon, and what stuck out to me in that sermon, she said, what do you do when communication is cut off? The radio's cut off out there. What they do, man? They go do what they was trained to do. And so whenever we walk in with the Lord and we're being Bible students and we're going to the house of God, we're getting equipped whether we realize it or why, because we are honoring God. And when we pray and we fast and we seek the Lord in our personal lives and all of that, we're honoring the Lord. We're honoring the Bible. And he says, when we do that, he said, I'll honor you. How's he going to honor you? He's got a million ways. I can't even think about how he honors you. But he honors you. And he will bless you, you know. And so when she brought that out, and I thought, I've never thought about that. And not long after that, Mac, I'm out there, and I'm not very old in the Lord. I'm probably 8, 9 months. I'm whipping devils before I'm a year old in Jesus. Because I went in there and I found out that Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the devil. And nothing should by any means shall harm you. And I thought, man, it's the will of God that I be running the devil off, still the devil running me. And so I started running the devil off. And how many knows God honor that? Jesus said, go in my name. We're nothing without him, but we're not without him. We are not without God. We are with God, and we are in God, and we are working through God, and we're living with our life. Our life is by him and through him. That's how come when weapons comes against a believer like you, and y'all listening by way of internet, if you're out of the will of God, I would plead with you to get in the will of God. Find the will of God. Find you a good Bible-based church. Go to, and I've heard people say, well, they ain't none. I would tell them, well, fast and pray, and God will send you a shepherd. Believe God. Believe God. Don't just say, there's nowhere God is at in my area. That's nonsense. God's everywhere. He's all over the planet. And if ain't nobody else, you just say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me, Lord. Here I am. How many knows that when you do that, you're honoring God? But I was thinking about my life. I was thinking about it when I was writing all of that, you know. I mean, this guy came to work for me one time, and he carries a gun on his side, you know, and that's fine. I don't have no problem with that. People carry a gun. Travis carried, he got a gun, you know. But policy is you're not going to carry it on my jobs. So he carried it, you know, and then I found out he had it, you know, on his side. And I just politely told him, I said, look, man, I don't want you to carry a gun in my trucks, in my service truck, and on the jobs and all that. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Well, it wasn't too long. 3 or 4 days goes by. We're on a job, and I didn't know it. Travis comes in there, and he tells me. He says, well, he's got a gun on his side. He's toting a gun, Dad. I said, oh, is he? Yeah, so I go in there, and he's standing up on some sheetrock. I'm telling you this for a purpose. I said, hey, man. I said, are you carrying a gun? I'm carrying a gun, man. I don't know what kind of neighborhoods. I said, well, I understand. I said, if I come to your house, I said, and you ask me not to come in with a gun, I said, and I come in, what are you going to do? I said, that's called dishonoring you. It's your house. I said, so you're probably going to ask me to leave if you're any, you know, like that. And I said, that is very dishonorable. I asked you not to carry a gun. I said, I take care of you. And I believe I'm more than enough. I got God with me, right? We got angels, right? We got the Holy Spirit, right? We got no weapons formed against us will prosper. But it wasn't about that. It was about dishonoring. And that turned me off till I want to get rid of you because you can't honor me. I'm honoring these people. What if you get mad road rage and you shoot somebody out of my service truck? I don't know your temper. I don't know, but it ain't even about that. It's about honoring God. That's dishonoring the Lord. When we honor people that are in authority over us, we honor the Lord. When we dishonor them, we're dishonoring the Lord as Christians. I mean, we're to be people of honor. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, nobody honors me. I said, well, are you honorable? I told them, honor is not deserved. Honor is earned. Honor's earned. Even with God. We don't deserve honor. We don't. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, honor him, and he will direct your path. It says, honor the Lord with your substance. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord. You know what honor the Lord to me is? I mean, now my title is, you know, standing firm on God's will. And if you don't know the will of God for your life in areas like I don't know the full will of God for me. I don't know where I'll be in 5 years, 10 years. I may be flying planes. I'll be criticized for that. You know, I mean, I believed God for years. He spoke to my heart and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I said, I went around saying it for years. I'm going to have a jet plane, bless God. I got to go all around the world, man. I don't like driving. I've been driving all my life. I'm going to fly, you know. Well, in 2008, God had a guy. Now, I'm in the will of God. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why ain't we growing? He said, you're just now taking off. 7 years into the ministry. I'm like, just now taking off? What have I been doing? I've been on the ground, man, going down through there. Just, you know. He said, you've been being prepared. Well, he opens a world. We're all over the world. People says, how's your little church? And I was, what church? What little church? What little church? And they say, well, how many you got? I said, they're all over the world. I said, I don't know how many I got. I don't know how many people watch us all over the planet. You can go on there right now. We're in China. We're in Africa. We're in New Zealand. We're in Russia. We're in the Federation. Where y'all from, Texas? Y'all ever listen to us over there? You ever heard? Y'all can get us. Yeah, see? She listened all the way over there on Facebook. Praise God. God did it worldwide. See, whatever the will of God is for you, you ain't got to figure it out. I was thinking about how me and Teresa, how we got to that church we was at. Now, I was raised in some religion and some denomination that they didn't believe much of nothing. I didn't know it. So I get saved and I tell Teresa I'm going to church, and she said, well, I'm not going to your blankety blank church, and I don't want nothing to do with your blankety blank God, cussing God and all that. You know, and I said, well, that's fine. I said, but I'm going to church and you don't bother me about going to church. Okay, that's fine. Well, I go on to church, you know, and I mean, people think that God would strike somebody like that down, don't you? Just burn them up. He didn't burn none of us up before we got saved. He loves us. He loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. He loves us. He loved her. So I said, that's fine. Well, it wasn't but just a few weeks. She gets born again watching TV, watching Praise-a-thon or something, them teenagers on there. And at that time, people was criticizing preachers on TV, trying to get me against preachers on TV. I went in one day and Teresa, her eyes, I could see something happen. I said, what happened to you? She said, I got saved. I said, you got saved? She said, yeah. And she began to tell me the story, how they was out there and them teenagers, they was having fun and all that, and that caught her attention. Then they started talking about Jesus and started talking about the Lord. And she gave her heart to Jesus in my mama's living room. And then she told me, and I'm saying this for a reason. See, God has a specific place for every believer. The Bible said it is God that sets us in the body as it pleases him. And so God wanted me up there in Coleman or Hansville. But I was reluctant. Teresa said, if you'll go to church, if you'll go visit up there where Sandy goes, that one, she's been here since church started. Said, I'll go visit church. And I thought, oh, yeah, that'll be great. Well, we go up there, and here they are with a rock and roll band, seemingly to me. Boy, they get the bass going. They got it all going. And I've used to a piano and some hymn books. That's all I was used to. And I walked in there, and they started all of that, and I'm like, this church is the devil. It's got to be the devil. You know, man. All this, and then people, woo, yeah, they shouting and all that stuff, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is not good, not good, not good, you know. And Teresa's over there, boy, she just enjoyed it. And we left, and she's like, ooh, that was good. And I said, it was? She said, yeah, it was good, Ed. That was good. And I said, well, they're a bunch of holy rollers is what they are. They them tongue talkers up there, man. You know them. That's the devil. You know, and I'm telling her that. You know, and she's all excited. You know, oh, she'll go back. I kind of, but what my point is, That's where God wanted me, and I didn't realize it yet. I really didn't care for the package that God had for me right then. He wanted me in that church, and I really didn't realize it. But you know what? But I told us, well, we'll go back, you know. And so we go back another time or two, and you know, and the music was a little more upbeat because we come out of the classic rock, you know, and the pot smoking and, you know, and stuff like that. So we was jamming. I mean, we had a more expensive radio system than we had a house or a car. I mean, we had a jam system. I got it over yonder, rent the home, boy. I got a big one, you know, and push my car home most of the time. But we gonna party. Well, anyways, you know, the music was kind of upbeat. Well, you know, I started getting into it. I thought, well, man, this ain't so bad. You know, I mean, there are screaming and hollering, and there was a lot of people there. Well, I settled on in. I thought, man, this has got to be the will of God, you know. I mean, Tracy enjoys it. Everybody's happy up here. I feel at home, although I'm in the midst of a couple of hundred folk that I don't know, you know, and they're friendly. And I had a holy clothes is all I had. I didn't have no clothes that didn't have holes in it. Long hair. I come out of the world, man. I mean, I'm still real rough around the edges, man. I mean, I'm still getting mad and different things, you know, and everything. But I settled in there. I thought, this has got to be the will of God. And, you know, from the time I set my heart to go to church there for the next year or so, Satan did everything he could think of to get me to unplug from the will of God. Now, I'm saying that, you know, that's all of us. You find the will of God where you're supposed to go and worship, and I mean you set it in your heart, and I mean you don't back off of that. No matter what happens in your life, and God will honor you. Look where I'm at nearly 30 years later. Well, where are you? You're looking at me. All over the world, in the front of y'all great, wonderful people, preaching into people's living rooms right now on Facebook, and Beth will upload it here in just a little bit, and it goes all over the world. That is amazing to me. But there where I was at, see, God will do things in the will of God. Now, I'm not just talking about church, where you work. Take your stand. I just heard a testimony, started a new job, making big money, pretty big money. Now they're going to demand to work on Sunday, and so they go to their boss, and they tell them, they say, how many strikes I got before I'm out? They said three. Well, the first Sunday that she's demanded to work on Sunday, that's strike one, she told them. Bravo! Hallelujah. Take your stand on the will of God. Well, I mean, I got a house to pay for and I got a car. Now, I don't go doing all that. That'll get you right out of the will of God. The Apostle Paul said the Holy Spirit appeared to him in the book of Acts and told him, everywhere you go, you are going to be in bonds and chains and all of these things. He said, but none of these things move me. He didn't consider all that might happen to him. All he knew is I'm going after that I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but there was times while I was going to church, I couldn't go to church on Wednesday night, so I went to my boss. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling everybody pattern after. But whatever conviction is in your heart that you know is the will of God, you stick with that and don't let the world, money, or anything else mold you. Just don't let it mold you. And God will work it to your good. God will work that thing to your good. Standing firm on God's will. Well, you know, I went through and I'm on the front pew there. And see, when you're on fire for the Lord, what I mean by that is you're praying every day and you're reading your word and you listen to scripture. You'll start burning on the inside. That's what it's all about. You don't really have to make it happen. If you'll just follow the Lord and seek the Lord and you know, try to honor him and everything, praise God, you'll start wanting to do things for Jesus. You'll start wanting to witness. You'll start having these desires that's godly, God doing it on the inside of you, to be a witness, you know, or to give, or to buy a car. Well, I'm on the front pew and in church. Somebody say in church. I'm going to be big on church in this last days. I'm going to stay on it. I'm going to fire at every service about going to church, about getting in the will of God. And y'all that are out of the will of God, you should be in a church and you didn't like it and everybody left, just turn around, repent, and get back in there and plug back in. And let God do, restore, and bring, and honor you, praise the Lord. Well, you know, I'm there and I said, God, I said, Lord, I want to be used by you, Lord, use me. And I'm just sitting there, me and the Lord, people fill the altar, wasn't nowhere to go to the altar, and I'm at the pew. And I'm down there and I'm saying, God, use me, God. I don't even know what I'm saying, Mac. I don't know what I'm talking about. All I know is I have this desire for God to use me on the inside. I've been saved about 4 or 5 months. God, use me, God. God, use me. And the Holy Spirit, this guy right here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The word led there means to be open to be willing to yield to. Be willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. And so I'm there, you know, and I'm telling the Lord that, and the Lord said, he said, you must first learn to submit to authority before you can be an authority. And I thought, I'm sitting there, and I thought, well, I don't know what that means, but anyways, I'll learn it, I guess. So I get up, we go on through the service and everything, go to work down there, I go to work, and my boss was, somebody had to go that usually did set our schedules out and all that stuff, and I'd been driving a truck for a long time, you know, and I knew routes, I knew, you know, where everything was, and so I go in, I pull my tickets out, and it's loaded wrong. I got a backtrack, you know. Instead of going in a line, they got the truck loaded wrong. This is your first stop, second stop, third stop. It got me upset. So I go in there, and I tell him, I said, listen, man, you know, all due respect, you're fixing to cause me to work, have to work longer today. Because, you know, I need to go here first and here first and here first. Let's take the forklift and let's unload it right quick and load it. Well, he wouldn't do it. Now, that's the way you're going today. So reluctantly, Johnny, I'd usually quit. But I'm not going to quit this time. Reluctantly, I went on, and I did quit. I went on, and I did it that day because I'm not going to do my boss that way. You know, and I'm going to quit. You know, so I went, and I quit. I went and run it that day, and I quit. And my boss calls me. What's up, sugar? I said, well, you let so-and-so over, and he's doing all of that stuff, and anyhow, make a long story short, he said, oh, come on. And so the Lord told me, he said, that's what I'm talking about. He said, if you want to do my kingdom stuff, he said, you're going to have to learn to submit to what you don't like. That's what he was talking about. Right there. Because if I can't submit to people, I won't submit to God. That's how you know, that's how you learn to submit to God. You submit to things, you know, you submit to people over you. You don't have to like them. I didn't like that church to begin with. But I can tell you right now, I'm in covenant with that church today, 30 years later. Because that church walked me through ignorance. That church walked me through a lot of weak times. That church taught me honor. My pastor come to me one time, or they did in a meeting, and they said, we want you to do this and have a permanent position here. And I said, well, I'm going to pray about it. And so I go out, because I've been taught there, find the will of God. So I went on a fast, and I started fasting and praying, and I'm looking in the scriptures, and I found a scripture in leadership or overseer that I didn't qualify for that position. So I went back to church, you know, and I told him, I said, well, I can't do it. I said, I don't qualify according to the scriptures. Well, I've been taught, go by the scriptures. If you go by the scriptures, you can't go wrong, and you can't go wrong. And this is what they told me. They said, well, we know your heart. We know you're not rebellious, or you wouldn't be standing here telling us that right now. And you know what? I went on, took the position. God honored me. God went on, in all of that. I don't even have that issue anymore. God knew it. God sees your heart. See, you got to honor the Lord, whatever. But He starts carrying us through training. Did you know our kids under us, we're training them without saying a word. When we're praying and we're fasting and we're believing God and we're standing strong in what we know to be God's will, good or bad, seemingly to whatever, we stand firm. We're training them. Had Travis one time. I went through open heart surgery and all that stuff and kind of run the church. He knew more than some did here, And I'm kind of keeping everything going from the hospital. I'm sitting in the toilet running the church a little bit. Down there in the hospital, man, hoping my heart doctor didn't come in. They want me to rest. I am. I'm at rest when I'm doing the will of God. I'm telling you, that's the most fulfilling thing in my life, is to be doing the will of God. He honors that and gives you peace. And yet that's the only way to explain it, praise God. Well, I heard him tell somebody, he said, my dad is the strongest person I know. He is the strongest person I know. Now, he wasn't bragging on me. He was just expressing what he was seeing. But you know what? I was at my weakest that I'd ever been, Matt. I come to church after about a week and a half or whenever it was, and I walked in, and I was a white boy. Y'all here, I was pale and everything, and I said, I'm not, and Travis, what are you doing, Dad? I said, I'm not looking for a reason not to come to church. I said, I'm not. Now, back there at the house, I had to tell my body why, because I know it's the will of God for me to go to church. I was talking to my pastor. He said, don't go preaching right quick. He said, don't preach. I said, I feel like I need to preach. It's been 3 weeks. I ain't been without preaching in a lot of years, And this is not what I do. Being a Christian is not what you do. It's who you are. Living in victory is what we are. we're from a stance of victory, and Satan wants us to defeat ourselves. He can't defeat us. He cannot. But it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, we got to be willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. One time I had this feeling God was going to put somebody over this church. I felt like it was in my spirit. And so I knelt down right there. And I told God, I said, at first I told God, I said, God, that's my ministry. You gave me that ministry, And God said, well, where'd you get it? I said, well, you get, it come from you. He said, well, then it's not yours. He said, see, it's not your ministry. He said, the jails wasn't your ministry. The streets wasn't your ministry. The prisons wasn't your ministry. The hospitals wasn't your ministry. He said, and this is not your ministry. This ministry belongs to me. So I knelt down right there and I yielded it to the Lord. I said, okay, God. I said, I just yield it to you right now. Whatever you want, God, I can submit to whatever you want. If you want to put somebody over this ministry, I'm at your command. And I'll sit here and labor with them and I'll let them take over if that's your will. Now, I'll find out if it's your will or not. I'll go to fasting and all of that. But, there was a release, and it's like God said, I was just seeing if you would. I didn't have to do it. I believe he was letting me see if I would or not honor him. Amen. Everything we have come from him. The air we breathe. Our marriages. Man, I'm telling you right now, we're living in a time where we've got to fight the good fight of faith. Not struggle and not beg, but go in there, take a stance on the word of God and the will of God. I said it in 2021, I think it was, whenever the pandemic hit. And I mean, it hit the world. It affected the whole world. and I went to the Word of God, and I stood on the Word of God, and I said, God, I said, I will not lose anything in this path. I thank you, Lord, according to your word, that I put you first, that I'll not lose anything, that I'll gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, that I will prosper through the pandemic. And I can take you back to my finances. I prospered. I paid Travis double last year what I paid him year before last. And he had to pay taxes then. That was hard. But you know what? He just complied. He said, I'd rather pay taxes in than be broke. Because the story of this one guy. You know, he could be working, making money, but he's living in a place where it's based on his income. And he told me, he said, I don't want over 20 hours my house payment goes up. And I thought, well, you know, that's up to you, you know. I'd rather just go ahead and make hundreds of thousands of dollars and buy my own house. Pay for it. Now, I'm not knocking that dude, but that right there, Travis is not willing to live there. He wants to prosper. He wants God to be able to do expediently, abundantly, above, greater than he can ask or think. So he just yields to it. See, when I made a commitment through the Word of God, I set out to find God's will. I said, God, I want to know your will about finances. I want to know your will. Is it your will that the body of Christ prospers? Is it your will? Because some will say, God giveth, God taketh away, according to Job, blessed be the name of the Lord. There's nowhere in the New Testament you'll find that. There's nowhere anywhere else that you can find that, but you can find that doctrine in some churches. You have to be careful getting in pride. God will strip you. No. The Bible says if we humble ourselves to the Lord, see, pride strips us. God don't strip us. See, God don't do it. God said, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Choose blessing. See, God don't strip. There's nowhere Jesus said it, nowhere Paul said it, nowhere he wrote to the churches and said that. See, that doctrine would get you, when you start going through hardship, if you are not careful, Satan will come and he'll make you believe God's doing it. He'll say, hey, see, you didn't fast last week. See, you didn't pray. See, you didn't go to church like you ought to. He'll start getting you to have some unbelief towards God. Where if you're reminded of something right quick he's trying to use on you, just repent right quick and say, what's this, devil? Father, I just praise you, Lord. I didn't realize I did that. I didn't realize that right there. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me, Lord. And don't the Bible say he's a just God? If we'll ask him to forgive us, then he forgives us. Well, then we say, what you going to do with that, devil? Liar. God's blessing me. No, I'm not perfect. I'm not. Tell the devil that. No, I'm not perfect. I wasn't perfect down there. I told somebody one time, I said, you know what? I said, when I got born again, I said, I had marijuana. I had froze in the freezer. I had marijuana froze. I kept it in there to keep it moist, you know. I had marijuana in the freezer. You know, I had some black beauties. You can't even get them now. It's junk. I had black beauties in there. Had alcohol and all that in there, you know. And God still showed up. He showed up and saved me in there. They can't wrap their head around this kind of God. Because I don't, for whatever their reasons are. No, God goes down into the lower places, and reaches down and pulls people out. The Bible says that's what we do. That we should be jerking them and hating even the garments spotted by the world. Jerking them out. That's what Sandy was doing. I mean, we've been hearing Sunday school on seed sowing, watering, and increase. You know, the sower sows the word. Well, that's what I've done, and that's what you've done. And you know, I read the scripture over, I believe he in Philippians over there. Paul was talking to the Philippian church. He says, he says, I'm going to paraphrase like it says, what level you have attained to, maintain it. I told Travis the other day, I said, when you get the letter, he was talking about something that he had been up one at one time doing, honoring the Lord. Then he quit honoring the Lord, and then he started back honoring the Lord. I said, that's great. And I told him that what I just said. I said, that's what I was talking about the other day. When you have arrived to a place of victory, don't back off of it. I mean, I fought for my marriage, praise God, hallelujah, and I won to me. I won. I've been married nearly 38 years. You know, there's a lot come in between then and now, but I gained victory, and I'm telling you, I will not back off of that. You know, I will not back off of that. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife as Christ so loved the church, you know, and gave yourself for it. And I made a commitment to that. I found out that it was God's will for me to put her first, for me to want her to have better than me, for her to have the best and all of that. And I started doing that. I started trying to exercise that. And the more I exercised it, the more it got down in here. And then I will buy her nicer things than me. And things have come, you know, in over the years. And I didn't like her attitude, and I'd be like, well, I'm going to come off of that for a little while. Just, you know, she's going to find out, bless God, I've been loving her like Christ so loved the church. You know, when she gets back that attitude back right, I'll start doing it again. Well, you can't do that, because then when you do that, you give the enemy place. You give him place to come in there. Now, when you get up there to a place of victory, you don't back down off of it. If you believe it's God's will for you to prosper, then you reach to prosper in God. If you believe it's God, don't ever believe it's God's will for you not to prosper. Now, people out there, they won't go to church and won't honor God and won't seek God until trouble hits. Then they call on you or call on me. Oh, pray, boy, it's got bad over here. And God can't show up over there. And, you know, and then the devil tells them, well, see, God ain't really real. See, God ain't really real. They've not got enough faith in them because they ain't been pursuing the Lord. And they wonder why God won't. When it's not God won't, God can't. It's not that God won't. God cannot. When you're dishonoring the Lord, not going to church, just like giving, just like tithing, you know. I mean, tithing's honoring the Lord. It's honoring, you honor that Bible, and the Bible says there's promise with it. Did it open the windows of heaven? I mean, I'm telling you right now, I believe just when I started this church and I'd been tithing for right at 8 years. I didn't do it right to start with, man. $20. I was making $200 a week, man. We can't even pay our light bill. You know, I mean, they're cutting our lights off every 3 months and different things. And then I find out through a radio station I was listening to, that guy, he brought up tithing. And I thought, there's another one of them TV and radio preachers. All they want's money. That record started playing in my head, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm serving the Lord, you know, and I got my pencil out, and he told where it was in the Bible. I didn't even know where it was at in the Bible. And I told the Lord, if that's in the Bible, if that is in the Bible, then I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to do it. And I got home, Johnny, and I had a New Testament in my pocket. Well, that's in Malachi 3. It's in the Old Testament, so I couldn't find it. So I got home, and I'm like, oh, I had my fingers crossed. I hope it ain't in there. I hope that preacher's lying. I mean, I really did. I go get the Bible, and I got my fingers crossed, man. I'm hoping it ain't in there, hoping that's not in there. And I go in there, and I open that Bible. It took me a few minutes. I had to find out where Malachi was. Your Lord didn't know where nothing was in there. Finally, I found it, and there it was. I was shocked. I thought, really in there. Man, I battled with it. I didn't do it right for a few weeks, but then I got it settled. I thought, but God, this is the will of God for us. This is the will of God for us. Pray God, and Lord, I just ask you to help me to do your will, Lord. Empower me to do your will, Lord. Lord, I've got these financial trials. We ain't even got enough money to tithe. But I'm going to tell you right now, we don't have to take calculators to the grocery store today. Praise God. I mean, you honor God. And Teresa should get on my nerves in that. I mean, every Sunday, what's our tithe? And I'm like, gosh, you got to say that for church? God, can't wait to get to church. Don't ruin my day until I get to church. Start about the tithing before we even get ready. You know, that's your flesh. That's your carnal man. That's that carnal man, see? And he's not complied yet fully. But you just keep on. Then before you know it, you'll be like, yeah, just write it for this much. Round it off to a bigger number. Just give a little more. She asked me now, and I'll say, yeah, make it for this. And I'll say, and that's, you know what? That's adding a little. That's a little over. Hallelujah. I'm not even tempted not to do it now because I know it's honoring God. Well, the Bible says in Luke 6:38, what does it say? Give and it shall be given. I mean, I had a guy one time, you know, he told me, because I'd done give away about 20, 25 cars that time, and he had knew some of it and knew people that I'd give them to, and they was talking, you know, and stuff. And I'd got an old truck. I called it Blue. It was an 86 Silverado, short wheelbase, had a built 350 in it, and power windows and all that, and headers on it. And it sounded good, you know, and I just kept it and drove. Had blue interior, real nice truck. And I was over there in his presence one day, and he said, hey, Scotty. I said, yeah. I drove that truck. He said, hey, if you go to get rid of that truck, you know, how about remember me? I told him, I said, why don't you give your Ford Ranger away? No, I ain't giving nobody my truck. I thought, hey, well, you won't never get mine then, because God won't let me give it to you. It don't say take and take and take and take and it'll be given to you. Give and it shall be given to you. When I seen that in the Bible, I went to God and I said, God, I want to be a giver. I want to be a sower. God, I want to see that word. I found out that it was the will of God that I be a giver. You know, and that word caused me to want to honor God. You know, I didn't even realize it at that time. So when you're reading that word and something's bringing convincing to you, I don't even want to say conviction because people don't know what it is. They feel condemned. They think that's God convicting them. I'm just not worthy. I didn't fast and pray. That's not conviction. That's condemnation. My pastor one time, somebody had come up, and he hadn't been praying much that week like he should, and hadn't been fasting, been watching some TV, you know, and they come up, and his aunt or somebody is about dead. I don't remember who it was, but I remember him telling the story. And they come in there and knocked on the door, oh, so-and-so's dead, they're dying out here. You got to come over here and pray. He said, well, let me get ready. He said, and I had this thought, man, I can't do nothing, man. I've not been seeking the Lord like I've been. I've been watching a lot of TV. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord asked him, he said, if she gets healed, will it be because of you or because of me? See, that was the enemy. And he said, Lord, it'll be because of you. Well, he goes out there and pray, and the dog goes to going crazy, and she got healed. He left, and he thought, man, it's not our goodness. Well, he's bringing that to the church, and it helped me at that time. Because I was way away from perfect like I am right now. Way away from it. Now, I'm closer to it now than I was whenever he brought that to the service. But how many knows God knew? God knew that I needed to hear that so that I wouldn't base whether he was good to me on me being perfect, whether he used me in the jails and the streets and anointing for my son and my family. When I came to church here, I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, when he's wanting us to come here and start a church, I knew that it was the Lord. Now, I'd been offered churches and salaries and all kinds of things before that, and I'd go to the Lord, and the Lord would say no. You know, and I'd be like, man, why not, God? I mean, they're going to pay me a salary, you know? Well, come to find out, I went to preach at that place, and they got up, and they said, let's take up an offering for Brother Scotty. Oh, let's bless him. Let's just bless him tonight. And when that offering, and I had made it a habit of giving God an offering even when the offering was going to me. I know that sounds stupid, but the offering plate, it's offering time. And so, I dropped a $20 bill in there. And when I got the envelope, it was $10. opened that up, and I'm like, maybe she made a mistake there, you know. Stuck together or something. Surely I got back 20. I put 20 in the offering. And so I'm all mad. There wasn't no cell phones or nothing. And I thought, well, man, you know, that preacher just did them people wrong, you know. And how many knows when something is designated to you that's supposed to go to a certain thing that you know God wants you, don't use it for nothing else. You let it go to that. If an offering comes in here, I've had people to come in on a Wednesday night and they'd stick money in my hand, you know, and I'd say, what's that for? I need to know. If that's mine, it's mine. But if it's to go to the church, it's going to the church. Right? I'd say, well, what's that for? You're giving that to the church or, what? You know, what's that for? And then be like, nah, that goes to you. Well, thank you. Now I'm honoring God. But I want to know where that's supposed to go. Because I don't want to dishonor God that way. If it's supposed to go to the church, then that's what it's supposed to go for. Me and Teresa, we set aside amount of money to give evangelists. You know, when they come through, I think we say it starts saving $5 a week. Got it out of the Bible, didn't we? Paul said, lay up, there would not come, you know. And so we started saving $5 a week. And so that when evangelists come through our church, we would have a good offering. You know, I mean, we get $25, man, we hot. We working. You know, $25 offering in this offering, man. We're coming on up, Lord, you know. Well, one time we got into tight, and I thought, well, it's our money. We can do what we want to with it, you know. And I thought that day, we need this and that, you know. And the Lord said, where's that supposed to go? Yeah. Well, see, God don't want me getting in a role of being wishy-washy about what I project something towards. Just like Travis, you know, a little setback, he's going to do some things, you know, and first of the year and all that stuff, and things didn't plan out like he wanted. And then he told me, he said, yeah, kind of got me discouraged a little bit, you know. He said, but then I just geared right back up. He said, I geared right back up. And I said, yeah, that's the way you do it. I said, when a setback comes, that don't stop you from your vision. You just gear up and say, I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to go on anyhow. How many knows when you do that, you're bringing honor to the Lord, because people looking at you say, God, man, they just went through that and they kept trusting the Lord, and God will bring you out, and man, and they're going to see that God is on your side. One of the words for this year through prophecy is that God, that people are going to say, God's people are going to say, I know God's with me because he is blessing me. So I want to encourage you. If you know the will of God, you found the will of God, and I don't care what comes, don't let anything bring you down off of your faith in God concerning the will of God in that area. You stand firm on the will of God. Whatever you know to be the will of God, you stand firm. Where you don't know the will of God, go seek him. Say, God, show me if it's whatever it is. Like me, he showed me through the word and a revelation in my heart that prosperity is for all of God's people, all of them. The Bible says that he takes pleasure in, it pleases him when he prospers, for his people to prosper. So I want to encourage you, stand firm on what you know to be God's will. And if you have to fight the good fight of faith in it, good. Well, just stand. Your body, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Stand on it. You know it's the will of God. Jesus did it. Praise God, and you don't back down. Financial pressure comes your way. Don't sweat it. Don't never let Satan see you sweat. You just trust God, and God will bring you out on top. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.